Yeah, great. So first off, also just, I guess one thing we definitely wanted to say was when you have a comment, anybody out there, when you have a comment, question, whatever, please, if you could, the first time, in, say, you know, either it'd be helpful to know what institution you're part of, or just like the size of your institution, right? Really, that kind of information would help us as well. So we wanted to talk some about the predefined reports, you know, which is what we have presently in AT. And so sort of the first thing we really wanted to ask was, which of the reports are you, or your institution, not necessarily just you, using in archive space, and like for what purposes are you using the things that you are using? Don't everyone tell me all at once.
if we share a link to that subteam recommendations for predefined reports in the chat, would everyone be able to see that?
Maybe. I mean, I think they would.
The council wiki is public, so yes, they should be able to see it.
So then we should probably explain what that document is. So basically, a while ago, like a long time ago now, I don't know, and we'll see what dates in that document, several years ago, I feel like, we tried to think through reports that we thought, well, we tried to reassess the reports that we evaluated what existed in the current version, and tried to decide if we thought a report, you know, did it run at all? Did it make sense? Did the definition of what it said it was actually, was that true, right? And we tried to compare, sort of look at all the reports together to think about if there were like ones that we didn't need because some other report was really already getting at that information, those kinds of things. And then also, were there places where we thought, well, maybe what we really need to do is combine these two reports into, you know, this other thing, or are there ones we see a hole that there isn't and we recommend maybe adding that? So that's what that document is. And so that might be, I mean, that might be helpful. So I think what I'm gonna do maybe to spur people's brains, because we don't really have to do this in a linear fashion, although we would love to get feedback on all of these things, that's really what we were wondering about is sort of, I'll just tell you all the things we were wondering about. And then if there is one that sparks your interest, we can go with whatever that is. So which of the reports are you using and why, right? Which ones are you using most frequently and why? Are there ones you've never, you've purposely said, I don't ever want to use this because, and then what was the reason? And maybe there are ones you have used and then you were like, this is terrible, this doesn't work the way I thought at all, right? And there was some reason that you stopped using it. You used to and now you don't on purpose. And if there are places where you have other use cases that you feel like none of the current reports are accommodating, where you wish there was a report and there wasn't, we would like to know that. And if you aren't using them at all, we'd like to know why that is as well. So if anyone has anything to say about any of those topics, we would love it.
Hi, can you hear me at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Sorry. I'm kind of in and out of this meeting because we've like had a mini crisis, not a big thing, but people are out sick, and so I'm having to jump and do things for an exhibit. Currently, I just switched positions, and I'm currently at Clemson University, and we are not using the report function right now because I we can't get it to work right, and I feel like there's something wrong with the setup. I am really new to the position. I've only been here 2 months, so I haven't really had a chance to speak with our person that's kind of handling the system side of it to figure out, you know, what can we do. But I think kind of what I gathered and what we used when I was at Haverford and with the rest of the TRICO was working with the API and doing that rather than actually using the reports.
Okay.
Alston, in case, and Julia too, in case you haven't seen, there are some comments in the chat on these different topics. That. So you might want to go back a little bit, starting with Francesca from AP Corporate Archives, I think it's the first comment on.
We use accessions report to get our statistics at the end of the year. Ashley, if you don't mind, like, could you make sure you try to maybe just copy it all out and then we'll sort it out later in our notes, just so we don't miss something. So, okay, right, using accessions report to get our statistics in the year. I mean, that's a place that I can say that I also do that. Rachel says we have only, actually, so here's the other thing. I guess, Francesca, maybe you don't have a mic. I don't actually know. Well, okay, so AP Corporate Archives, presumably that's fairly small, but I don't really know at all. I just know it's a corporate archives. That's what I know now. I'm trying to gather that.
Could I jump in?
Yeah.
Yes, hey, this is Rachel from NYU, and I'm with some colleagues.
Excellent.
So we typically have only been using the location holdings reports, and those are typically for paging, because not everyone who's doing that either has the familiarity or comfort looking locations directly up in the system. Right. But we have noticed sometimes because of how large those reports can be that they do impact overall systems performance and have even crashed our system. So we use it, but we're still a little bit wary of it. And then on another note, we haven't really been using any of the other reports for kind of annual statistics or talking about the work that we've done, either because previously they weren't working, or in the case of accessions, so I'm the accessioning archivist, there's 7 different accessions reports, and they're all a little bit different, but having so many, I can understand the where it's coming from, but it also kind of makes it difficult to know which report to use. And they're all a little bit different, none of them actually satisfy all of my needs. So it makes it kind of complicated. So we've actually been compiling statistics on that kind of work through a combination of just a SQL query or compiling our statistics in either a Google Sheet or Airtable, which is what we're currently using. But I'm glad that you all have scheduled this call because it gave me an opportunity to revisit the reports, which I hadn't done in a while, and there were some things that were either new to me or I didn't know about before. So thank you for doing that.
Definitely. Oh gosh, what version, do you mind saying what version you're currently on?
Sure, we're on 2.5.1.
Okay. I think that paging question that's an interesting use case. I mean, I've thought about that a lot too and whether that'd be useful here or not.
On the subject, we did also in a previous version of Archive Space use, I think it was the locations holding report, had the option to select a specific parameter below the level of building. So I could say building, and then a specific area or floor or range of locations. And that was really helpful to us in creating really targeted reports for, what do we have in the quarantine room? But it also made it just a lot easier on the system to run a smaller set of data. So that no longer seems to be included as a functionality, but it's something that we really liked. So putting that on the record.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is Lainey here by chance? Okay.
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, Austin, I couldn't find my...
Oh, that's fine. I was thinking you might be able to speak to that in some fashion. Not to put you completely on the spot, and if you can't, that's totally fine.
You mean for the changes in the report?
Yeah, I was trying to remember back to like what she was just talking about, like places where we had facets that we don't maybe now, or not facets isn't the right word, but I don't remember that changing. And so I just remembered if you did and if you knew anything about why, I guess.
I know we did a refactor last summer of the reports.
Because I think we all agree on reports. The functionality she's talking about is a thing that in general we think is good. So,
Right. I'm wondering if that's not a part of the shelf list report, the new report that got put in.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the location report that she's talking about got removed because of that.
Maybe. Yeah, there's been a lot of changes in reports.
We can certainly look into it.
The shelf list report is one that I do think, I will just say that everyone, if you're interested in reports at all, might be worth looking at, because that was one of the, like, there's only a handful of new quote-unquote ones that we've actually gotten that have come out of this group. And that was one that Carolyn Runyon put a lot of work into doing, and we all thought really hard about what we thought should go in that. And I do think it has a lot of broad applicability, so it might be useful. It's a thing I should look back at too.
Yeah. So Rachel, check out the new shelf list report.
So we actually just did, the shelf list report is a list of all.
Oh no, we lost you.
Rachel.
That's not good. The other thing I'm wondering is I'm wondering if, because the locations report was one of those reports that had a tendency to we might have taken it out until we could refactor that.
Yeah.
Because that's very database intensive.
Well, if Rachel's voice reappears, we will talk about that more.
Hello, I've returned. I think Zoom crashed or something. But yeah, the shelf list report is a list of all locations and the containers that are at them. And there's no opportunity to filter or set parameters.
Yeah, you'd have to like have it in the CSV and then sort things on your own. Right.
And Rachel, I think you might have missed it. I think the location report you were talking about might have been taken out because it was causing issues with people bringing down their database because it was so database intensive.
Okay.
That might be why that disappeared. There were a couple that I know we removed because of that until we could refactor them to make them less.
I think it was the location holdings report, which is still available. It just doesn't have that same option to add further details about areas or a range of locations.
Okay, I'll go look while we're talking.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sarit, I may have said that wrong. We are going to talk about custom reporting stuff. I'm going to push that down the road just a minute, though. But it does relate to this crashing thing. But yes, we are definitely, we will talk about that.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
okay. It's Sarit. I'm also with the Associated Press.
Okay. Great. Okay. Good to
know. Yeah. But I do have, I was just on a call with Blake, so he recommended that I had some things I had asked him about the report. And I'm just, can I ask you one quick question?
Yes.
Strictly about creating prefab report designs, or is this about the ability to possibly break it down so that you can create filtering based on the area of interest so that you don't overload your system with downloading data that you don't actually need?
Well, that's a good question. I think I understand your question, but I might not. So in that case, I guess we'll just,
you can wait later when you want to talk about custom reports, but it just falls into the category of being able to design your report accordingly and pull down the data specifically to what you need, rather than pulling down every single collection, every single location, and every single record.
I mean, I think the interesting thing, this is Lainey, sorry, this is probably a thing you can should probably comment on too, because you will know more than me. But I would imagine, I could imagine intuitively that, right, if I'm only pulling a set of the data, that should be less likely to crash my system. But for whatever reason, that doesn't actually seem to be true. and Lainey knows definitely more about that than me. But so that's one of the things is we're trying to figure out that balance between custom reports and predefined reports, because, I mean, there are a lot of places we think, usually smaller places, but not necessarily, where, like, you really just need to have some reports you can run, and it's not maybe you might not have the time or the expertise to, like, customize a whole report. I mean, that partially the expertise part partially depends on what your user interface ends up being. But I think that, right, we definitely all want some custom reports. And so trying to figure out what is, like, the acceptable amount of customization to make it useful for people. But also, I mean, this is something Lainey has talked about some, and so that's why I said she can probably elaborate. There's like a certain amount of customization at which it becomes not really feasible because it does just crash the system. So we're trying to figure out, you know, we want to make something so that people can do that, but where is that boundary of us making it where it's useful without doing more than we should?
So what I mentioned to Blake was not customizing reports in a sense of layout and formatting and things like that, but using along the same lines as already existing, but being able to say, I would like to see all the for this particular resource record, the locations associated there, or for this particular accession record, you know, what are they linked to? And this resource record or archival object, which agents and subjects are associated with it. So being able to at least narrow down how much data you're pulling down, not necessarily saying, I want it to have this logo on it. And
that's not what we were thinking about either.
Okay.
Lainey, can you say anything else about this topic? Because you're going to do better than me.
Sure, I'll try. No, it's okay. The custom reports was actually looked at it in a different perspective than what you're talking about, Sarit. I think it sounds to me like what you would like to do is, as a really quick example, you have a resource and you want to know what all is linked to it, right? So you pull up the resource and you push a button and it tells you, it generates a report for one specific record? Is that what you're talking
about? If that's what you're working on, let's say you're working on a collection and, you know, you've got a collection in there and you just want to be able to view it all or do some kind of bulk, check on it in a much more easier fashion sometimes than looking at it on the screen, harken back to using paper, what can I say? So that would be kind of interesting. And Blake did mention the fact that it crashes systems when you're trying to do this customization, and how do you put on limits on this customization because of that. And, I just said to him, I said, why not have a segment where if you want a specific accession record, I mean, pre-designed standardized reports are great because a lot of reports kind of are standardized across the board, but then you may need to very specifically say, I need a specific report for a record. So you have this option to say, select which record group or resource record you're looking at, and then select which of the data associated with it you want. So you can narrow it down, not say, I want every single thing linked to it, because again, you're pulling way too much data from way too many tables. You're really focusing and working on something very specific. So it just seems like if you have some filter or drop down menus to say, select this field or that field or something to that effect.
That is what the custom reports, that was what the plan was.
Yeah.
The problem is if people choose more things than they should, how you decide what should means is going to be certainly repository specific as far as how much data you have in there. And so we actually set up the custom report so you could pick the record type and then pick the field you want to come out. The problem is if people do that for too many things, it will crash their system. Guidance is that, so like, you know, someone might say, oh, I just want to pick all of the resources that I have. And then they would pick all the fields, and depending on how many resources or collections they had in their system, it would actually crash.
But that I could see.
Okay. So I'm
thinking in terms of, you know, if you make a selection for a resource record, then it automatically gives you a limited number of things that you can actually select in terms of what you're going to be able to see after that. And if you say, I'm going to be dealing with locations, now you can only select container information after that, or can this information, like, so it filters down as you go. And so it automatically would limit how much data you could pull in for a particular resource.
But trying to figure out what that means for different people, it's almost impossible, right?
I mean, that's what we've struggled with, basically, is trying to figure out how we would decide those things. And right.
Right. And the way the reports work now is it's not for a specific record. It is for all of those record types.
Right.
Okay. So I'm hearing something different from what you might want, which would be, I've got a specific record that I just want to get little bits of information out for that specific one. And the reports have never been that specific. So it's a different perspective that honestly I hadn't heard before. So that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, Sarit sounds more like a different view of a record. Way of looking at a record and printing that out. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's good to know.
That's fine. That's nothing wrong with that. The way the reports work right now is it's a big glob of stuff.
Right.
As opposed to a specific record. So that is an interesting idea. I'm glad you brought that up because I hadn't thought it that way before.
Right.
I don't know if this helps or not, Sarit, but
no, it's good. I mean, that's the discussion for this, and I'm, you know, not trying to beat a dead horse if you've already talked about it. But I was just on the phone with Blake, and he's, you know, he told me the problem that he have, and I brought up my suggestion, and he said, "Oh, you should definitely bring that up," because he hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah,
you know, I talked to him about how even visually what I could imagine it to look like in the system for a person to go in and just be able to tailor these things much in the way you have these broken down by, well, this is a report specifically for an accession. This is specifically for a resource record. You know, this is specifically for location or whatever. But again, so as I said before, but thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
And before we get any further, I for Rachel, you're right. There's a range option got removed when we did the last update. We can work to get that back in for the location holdings report.
We would love that. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, that does sound useful.
Yeah, it does.
Steve at UVA. Hi, Steve. Is it Steve Majewski? Majewski? Is he there?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey. Find my unmute button.
Yes, thank you. We have added custom/collection management sub-report Oh, goodness. To the resources list report and use that a lot. Okay, you might have to explain what that means. But the other thing I noticed is you said all the variations are confusing. Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm glad someone else said that before too. Like, that is what we've been, okay, so that's good to know you all think that too, because I think that's why we had that predefined reports recommendations document that Julia shared, was that we're like, really, does there need to be 7 predefined reports about accessions? We should probably have like 2 or 1 or, you know, whatever, and make it, try to make that as tight as we can, because it is hard to know what to pick when you have so many. So thank you for that. Do you want to add, Steve, do you want to talk a little bit about this adding the what you've done?
Well, it took me a while to figure out the structure of the new reports, but actually once I figured it out, it was very easy. I actually have it changed for both accessions and resources, and in the report, it just adds one line that's calling the collections management sub-report. I had to add the YML file to give strings for all those fields.
Did you do that as a plugin, Steve, or is that you have your own custom build of ArchivesSpace and it's built into the code here?
Yeah, that was one of the other things, figuring out that the reports don't have to, you know, they can just be dropped in the reports file. So I have a bunch of a script with, you know, a separate repository with my config files and other things that I plugins that get loaded over top of the distribution. So I can just run the standard distribution.
Those might be some great things. And if I don't know if there's anyone else on this call who's doing that as well, but if people have made custom reports as plugins, those would be great things to share across the community, so that, yeah, you don't have to build 500 reports into the system. But, you know, it sounds like some people are already doing customized things for themselves.
I also just added a push request too, like, for something I've been using for a while, but I just finally cleaned it up enough to submit it. There was a user groups permission report to list all the users and what their groups are.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
My name is Matt Riley. I'm with Purdue University, and I was just told about this yesterday, but this existed, so. I'm coming at it from a web developer standpoint, but we get requests for various things. We did this in Archon and now through ArchivesSpace to create our own reports out of the system. I currently have one from a new archivist that she just started a month or two ago and wants to get a handle on her collection area. And what I can see in the current reports, there's nothing really to pull in collections at that level. Basically, she wants to know what all is in a collection and where everything's located across all the locations and the containers and things like that. So more of like an inventory.
I want to know that too about my collection, but I don't.
Yeah, it's more of an inventory type thing, but you know, being able to do that, and I'm trying to go through the back end and looking at the database, but there's some relationships I'm not quite figuring out how to get all those around. So even having some documentation surrounding the relationship between the various tables or something like that, I haven't come across it. But again, I'm newer to a space and working on the back end of this. So those are the types of things. The other thing that the other archivist Neil wanted was something that's come up, you know, previously here, but that is with customization and being able to like kind of pick and choose fields. One thing I was also wondering is, even instead of creating reports and having them, you know, nicely, you know, creating all these scripts and everything, is there any way to just have some MySQL type script somewhere that we could just run on the back end and even to another server, you know, if we duplicate our server across, that we could run reports against that internally? instead of having to go through the system, you know, using some sort of external service to hit that.
Hey, this is Lainey. Yeah. One thing you might want to do is if you look in the reports directory, there's a bunch of reports in there, and you should be able to see what queries we're doing in order to get some of these reports to run. And that might give you an idea of how to find things in the tables.
Sure, okay.
You know, just as a quick way of doing that.
Yeah, I just noticed there wasn't anything really, from what I was told and what I could find, nothing really surrounding the classifications section. Is that true or not?
Let me look real quick.
I feel like there's, that's what I didn't open, the sandbox. I think there's at least one report related to classifications, but I don't remember right now.
There's a classifications list report that is basic information and record links for classifications. So looks like it's kind of limited.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's...
In terms of that question about running just something from MySQL to something, I found that in testing, it was very handy for me just to be able to run the reports from the command line rather than running it through the application. I had a kind of a, you know, not very, you know, running it through the debugger was basically how I was doing that. But that might be handy to have a separate report runner that just talks to MySQL and uses you know, the templates to format the data.
The only thing that I can think of that's like, I feel like is kind of applicable to that, but I'm not a developer, is so we, and I think Nancy's on this call, her and Lainey both can also know about this. I mean, so that is good to know. Thank you for that. Because you're right, that is like, one side, that's one need, that is one angle people are coming at with reports. We used to have, well, one thing we've tried to think about a lot, but I'm glad you said that, because that's not the perspective that we're always thinking about really when we've been having some of these conversations, because we have been trying to, I guess, particularly when we're trying to think about the predefined reports, right, we've been trying to think about places where people aren't going to have someone to do that in the back end. I mean, that was one thing we really tackled a long time ago, is that there were, I don't know, Nancy, you can speak to this better than me. There, the only way that we had for a while you could make a custom report. Anyone could make a report, but like it was really complicated and you're having to go through all this backend stuff that a lot of the archivists we felt like might not have the expertise to do that sort of thing. So, but it is important for us to keep in mind there are places where people do have someone to go do things in the backend like that, and how to help facilitate that, I guess, is the takeaway from your comment.
I agree that having the custom reports working better would be more functional for more people. But just since that question came up about wanting to run some things directly against MySQL, thinking there might be a way to make that easier.
Yeah.
This is Nancy, and I was on the reports team in the early days, and from early on, there's always been a strong sort of push me, pull you, between the people who had no IT support and were completely dependent on the predefined reports, which were, of course, horrifically, as much as there's been a lot of work to improve them, there still needs to be more work, but they were just utterly non-functional initially. And so I think that's where some of the initial work went, was to help people who had no other option. The people who could get into the back end and do stuff, well, they could still get into the back end and do stuff. But we've, I think, recognized for a very long time that there's been this idea of maybe eventually, when there's a lot more programming support, having a pick your own field reports module kind of thing that would solve a lot of this, where you could do that. But there's just never been a programming, we've never had enough programmers for the priority on developing that, as opposed to things like let's keep components from rearranging themselves and other higher priority sort of items sort of took precedence over any programming support we had, even when we would draft up other versions of predefined reports. What people have been doing otherwise in terms of going against the back end, I've been using Crystal Reports for years. And so I almost every report I use is customized, and I've actually used Crystal Reports to help define reports to submit for this. Other people are using, what is it, MySQL, where is it on my machine? There's another one,
That's what I was trying to remember, is the thing that you spent all that time trying to look in the back end.
Well, early on, they had Jasper imports in.
That's what it was. Thank you.
That was just horrendous. I think Mark came up with a blog post to kind of help you edit those to a certain degree, but it involved almost like a Jasper-only version of SQL that wasn't even standard SQL, so that didn't even help you. And they were a royal pain, they weren't working right. They were, I think, the Jasper part plugin or however it was set up was causing things to crash. So we basically had to gut Jasper out of it to get the reports to function even halfway as well as they are.
That's right. Okay.
And so that was one of the major steps, was having to decide to abandon Jasper basically and go with other options. But so I think that's where it's kind of come. And then over the years, there has been always this problem of getting feedback from the community in terms of exactly where to go. So if we are building custom or predefined reports, which ones are the most important and which predefined filters are the most important to whittle down? But again, that's why I think this group is having this call again, because periodically we try to get feedback to say what should we prioritize. But a lot of times it does come back to the custom ones or how can we get the data out in a form that you can then tweak further to your own needs has come up as well. So I guess that's a very long-winded way. Did I answer anybody's question?
No, thank you. I mean, thank you. That was helpful to me. Thank you for your point. And that is from the developer perspective. That is a good point that we will make a point to think about some, because you're right. Maybe we can help that angle too.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Marcella has written some things over in the chat. She says she would love a report on archival objects associated with containers. So like wanting to know all the folders that are supposed to be in BoxX within a resource record. The CSV that you're supposed to be able to download from the search results when trying to hunt down all linked objects to top containers does not work. All right, so we should investigate that. And I recently had to sort out an issue where folders were mistakenly associated with the wrong top container. Being able to actually spit out a CSV with just the top containers, titles of archival objects associated with it, and child information associated with them would be super helpful. Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. I haven't had any problems with CSVs, but it's been a while since I've done any of that stuff. So that is good to know.
Yeah, there's another person in the comments. Elle McPhee says that whenever they try to do the reports as a background job and they try to do the download CSV button, it still doesn't work. And is that still in the realm of the report subcommittee?
I mean,
there's two separate things being discussed there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
This is Laurel. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay. Hi, this is Laurel from UC San Diego. So what I was talking about in my comment was specifically when you're using the staff interface and doing a search on anything, whether you're filtering in the collection management field, if you're using the top container management module, if you're doing assessments, any result set that you get, you should be able to export that result set. Like that would seem like a really useful feature, and it seems like it should be so close. I don't know how complicated it is technically on the back end for programming, but so many times I get a result set that I want in CSV, and I can't get it out of ASPACE and into CSV. And some of those search result sets do have a download CSV button kind of built into the interface, not all of them, but it just doesn't work. It spits out hundreds and hundreds of fields. They're not really usable reports. So I'm just curious if the report subcommittee's kind of working on that issue and is aware of it, or if your purview is just these, like, the background jobs.
I mean, I think the answer is that probably it can fall under our purview, right? It's not a thing that we've been working on. I mean, the CSV stuff originally sort of came out of this group in the general sense. We were like, well, maybe we can do that as a stopgap measure so that people can get out data that they want while we're trying to figure out what the heck to do with all the rest of these reports. So, yeah, I think it probably does fall under our purview. I don't know that anyone in our group has mentioned running into that issue, though, so I don't think that we've really talked about that. And, like, the institution I'm at right now, we're migrating to Archive Space, but we aren't using it actively, so, and I've been here about 9 months. So it's been about 9 months since I've been using Archive Space every day, so therefore, I don't notice things like that. So thank you for mentioning it. So yeah, I guess, Lainey, that's a thing we should talk about at our next meeting.
Yeah, we can. I thought there was actually, that there was already a JIRA ticket on that somewhere.
Is there? Okay, there might be. I don't know. And I do not know.
There is definitely.
Okay. Good. Well, then it's on someone's.
Not to, like, insert myself, but one question I think one of the questions that's come up with the CSVs, and I agree, like, that is super handy. That's what people would want in general. The one that gets spit out now is every single field and every single record in that set, as Laurel said. Laurel and maybe other people who have been bringing this up as well, would it be enough to just get what's on the page? Like, because I think one of the struggles has been to define which fields should be included in that CSV export. It definitely should be less than everything, but what is the less than everything?
Yeah.
I think at a minimum, what you see on the screen, at an absolute minimum, would be nice. But, you know, often it's like, oh, it has everything but the related resource. So it has everything but the accession number. But at a minimum, what you see on the screen, just out of the box from any given search, would be great to be able to spit out into a CSV.
Yeah.
The only problem you have with that is that if a record has, for example, if you're doing a search of containers for a resource record, you have a lot of containers, it may not all appear on the screen. So if you have multiple pages of searching.
Oh, yeah, that issue as well, because you only get like 10 results in so many searches. And if you searched on a keyword and there's 53 results to your search, you only see them 10 at a time, it should be a no-brainer that a CSV would give you all 53 records. And
right.
But, you know, that's also going to come up against the issue with the search, some of the search glitches that are happening. For example, another thing I was talking to Blake about, I can search for a particular resource and it will not even pull that record up. It pulls up an entire other record. So, you know, and he said that glitch is being worked on with the search. I don't know, Christine, are you, you know what I'm talking about?
Sorry, I was responding to somebody else. So the glitch with the search in terms of what doesn't come up?
So there's some kind of a glitch Blake was telling me that they're trying to work on. I put in a resource record and it always pulls up a totally different resource record, the same one, but it just pulls up a different resource record altogether. So if you're going to depend on the searching to pull up the data that you want to export into CSV, that searching function needs to work.
Yeah, I don't, honestly, that one does not sound familiar to me, but I can certainly, you and I could talk later, or I can just check with Blake about what the conversation was that you had. Sure.
Yeah. There's also the issue where also needing to be fixed that it does not like a hyphen or a period in some instances, and it seems to be happening after you have a letter in. let's say if you're searching on an ID, if you use an ID number, you know, something like that, that doesn't like it all the time also. So he was just telling me there's other little glitches with the searching.
Yeah, but I think your general point that, yes, and Laurel's point that if there was a CSV import at minimum, it should get what's on, in terms of the fields that are included in the result set, and it should include all the records in the result set. And yes, yeah, the search should be an accurate reflection of what you were trying to search for. Yeah, no disagreement there.
Just to add, I think that original CSV was set up to be as inclusive as it is, although we always thought it was too inclusive, because the other reports weren't working at all at the time, and we thought, well, right, we'll just get people out whatever data we can give them, and then hopefully they right. can take it and whittle it down and do something with it. But again, it was a stopgap because at the time, the reports were just generally dead in the water.
Yeah, so that is a place that, and we have had conversations about like how do we whittle this down, because yeah, nobody needs 3,000 fields really, but so that is helpful information from both of you, or yeah, helpful. I mean, I think that was essentially right. Well, one of the things we have thought is that maybe it would be sufficient just to have the things that were on the page as our fields, but wanting to see what other people thought, so thank you for that. I will also note in the chat, if you haven't seen it, Rachel, who may have already had to leave the call, sent out a link to a plugin that they use to facilitate workflows for digitization between departments. But they can, she said, you can also use it to create a CSV of archival objects and their box folder numbers. So anyways, that's just there that might help people if you are interested in that. Let's see, what else do we have?
I have a quick question for you, Sarita. Yes. Hand again. Is there something that we, you know, I'm new to this discussion myself. Is there something that we can do to, rather than just sit here and tell you what we don't like?
Yeah.
How do we actually help you or work with you to see how to develop it? Because, I mean, you guys have done so much work on this, and
that's a good question.
So,
yeah, that's a good question. I don't really know the best answer for that. I mean, I think, well, so I guess our next step after this call is to try to like regroup and figure out what we think we need to do next, and figure out where to go from there. I don't have a great answer for that question, really. I don't. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Lainey or Christine have more thoughts on that. But I guess it partially depends on what Wendy, I'm deciding we need to do next. I mean, Lainey, really, and then Lainey, I've Sarah, is that Sarah's the intern that you've had?
Right, Sarah, she's our co-op student.
Right, I mean, most the actual development like always ends up falling on you all. We've done some looking at back end tables and trying to spec out reports, right? And those sort of things. But typically, right, defining specifications and stuff. But typically the actual development stuff ends up, it's not us in the reports group really doing all of that. It's Lainey and Sarah. Yeah. So I assume then that after we figure out where we're going from there, I mean, I think if you have an interest in trying to help with the development of it, I would say that Lainey would be the best person to talk to about that. Does that seem true, Lainey?
That is true.
Okay.
And I mean, people can put JIRA tickets in too, if they can describe what reports they need or where they think the reports fall short.
Right.
That's a good avenue as well.
We also talked in the reports group about doing a formal survey, like after this, thinking that maybe some of the conversation that we had here in this call would help inform, you know, what we might put in that. That's not an answer to your how to help develop it. But as far as formally giving us more feedback or whatever, that was another thing we were thinking. Also, because obviously I'm sure not everyone who wanted to be able to come to the call could. So that is probably forthcoming. So let's see, I was trying to see if there's other things in there I wanted to make sure that we didn't overlook. I think Rachel's gone, but yes, the name comment is totally applicable. Name records list versus agents records list. I mean, there are places where some of the language should be matched up better. So that's true. Julia, Lainey, do you have any other things that you want to make sure we talk about?
I think it seems like the call's been really helpful. It maybe hasn't given us exactly gone in the direction we expected it to, maybe, but it does seem like a lot more people are really interested in just like customizing what they can do instead of us getting a list of things that people do and don't use. Seems to be the direction that everybody wants to go.
Yeah, I think that is true. We do still have to figure out how to clean up the ones that exist though. And the example of, you know, there being 7 accession related reports and that confuses everyone. We have to figure out what to do about things like that, or none of them are helpful. So that's, I guess, still a thing for us, but customization is where it's at. Okay. So if people think of other things later, definitely reach out to us. Find any of us. But I guess, do we have contact info, I think, of some kind, right, on our, like, our wiki page that talks about our group has the members of the group and how to get in touch with us. And I guess I can put in the chat my email. So definitely do. And right, always the Jira ticket thing is a good point, because you can always put that in as well, run into a problem or think of things. Okay, well, thank you all for coming, and thank you for giving us this info. This is helpful. We appreciate it, and we will try to incorporate it into what we're doing and let everyone know we'll try to make sure we give updates as to what happens and where we think we're going when we regroup.
Christine,
from you. Okay. All right, I guess that's it. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks, Austin.
Ashley, I'll get in touch with you.